Welcome to Cowboy Church with your host, Russ Weaver, and Susie McIntyre. So sit back and enjoy some good singing, some great testimony, and some good preaching. Welcome to Cowboy Church.
Hi, I'm Susie McIntyre.
And I'm Russ Weaver.
And we want to welcome you to Cowboy Church.
Every week this year, we have a brand new episode of Cowboy Church.
We've got inspirational speakers. We've got inspirational singers.
We've got stuff we don't even know about yet.
That's exactly right. So sit back, relax, and enjoy Cowboy Church. You are going to enjoy it.
As I ran downstairs one Christmas morn to open my gifts at a house so warm, my mother was there smiling at me. She said, "Son, let's talk before you look under the tree." She told of a baby born long ago, Bethlehem, three wise men did go. Mama told of his life, and to never forget the love of our God and the first Christmas gift. The first Christmas gift was Jesus. My mother told me made a change in my life. Now as a man, I think back of then, of childhood days and that first Christmas gift. The first Christmas gift was Jesus. He was sent down from heaven. Gift to us. Thank you.
Last week, I started a series on the names that we see during Christmas, Emmanuel and Shekinah. And I got to going through that, and Emmanuel is God with us. And what it was is, for those of you who weren't here, to give you a short synopsis, God with us, it's represented in the Old Testament by the cloud and the pillar of fire when the children of Israel got across the Red Sea. They crossed across the Red Sea, which is a type of getting saved, and then this pillar of fire came, and it would be with them at nighttime, and the cloud would be there in the daytime. So it was a cloud in the daytime to keep them cool. It was a pillar of fire at night to keep them warm. And for 40 years, what their big deal was is to stay close to the cloud and the fire. If it moved, they moved. If it stayed, they stayed. So, and it was that simple. If it moves, move. If it stays, stays. And so when God came to earth, the Shekinah glory of God that showed up is Emmanuel, God with us. And when it happened, we turned into a little responsibility that goes with our salvation, is to go where God goes. It's not God with us so we can say, okay, God, I'm going over here. You need to be here. When we say God with us, when that interaction, that salvation happens, what happens is this, is we connect up with God, and then God moves and we follow him. It's not us move. God follows, because you end up out there without a cloud and without the fire in a hot or cold desert. You don't want that. So Emmanuel, God with us, and he showed up as Shekinah. So today, I was looking through that, and I'd like to read to you from Jude chapter 1, verse 3. It's a little different than the regular Christmas story, but it's interesting. It's, "Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints." And the part I want us to catch, it says, "I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend," catch this, "contend," kind of, or a little bit, or half-hearted, contend what? Earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. Our Heavenly Father, I pray today that you would bless our message. Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand what we need to understand. Lord, I pray that you would give us your grace that you sent to us in the form of a baby. Lord, that we would be able to accept the gift that you gave us. And Lord, that we'd be able to live the way you want us to live, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. How many of you know the baby Jesus was a gift? You know, all the gifts that we give, all the gifts that we go out and buy for people, they all represent one gift. And that gift is the gift that God gave when he sent his son to earth as a person. God with us as a person. What a great gift. And in that gift, all of that gift was our salvation. It's what a gift. How many of you have ever given your kids a puppy or a pet or a horse, something alive, or a rabbit? We have stock show people. You know, or maybe a 4-H heifer, or, you know, there's all kinds of live things. And you know, this is always the words that we use. It's always the words that we use. You know what it is? Here's your gift. Now, this is a bucket. This is a shovel. You got two ends of this cow that need taken care of. Don't we tell them that? We have chores, responsibilities for this great gift that was given to our kids. And it's so fun to have a new puppy. Here's the bowl. And here is the paper towels. Because you're going to have to teach this animal how to live. There's responsibilities that go with these gifts. and the responsibility that we have as Christians. Here's the great gift, our salvation. And then he says, now you're going to have to take care of it. You now have chores, you have responsibilities. Your great gift of salvation, and guys, think about this gift. This gift is the one that allows us to connect with God. It's the one that allows us to be the person God intended for us to be here. It's the one that gets us to have peace in our heart when we're dying and on our deathbed. And ultimately, this gift is eternal life. And it's all through Jesus Christ. What a great gift. How many of you would take care of that if you had a chance? Well, it's a good Sunday. You have a chance. And that's why the Bible says here, it says, I exhort you to contend earnestly for the faith. Contend earnestly. That means do your chores, take care of yourself. This faith walk is something that we need to take care of. It's a free gift that comes with responsibilities. Man, I love it. We have a part to play in this. Now, it's not about how good you are, because your pastor would fail that one. You'd be coming to church listening to a heathen trying to tell you something. It's not about how good you are. It's about whether you've accepted that gift by faith, and now it's time to go through the process that he wants you to go through. See, the great gift has life in it. And what life does, life either grows or dies. What I want to do is I want to give you inspiration to continue growing the gift. We had a plant given to us years and years ago. And we just kept after it and kept after it and kept after it, and the thing just grew. And finally, it just kind of quit growing, but it just stayed and stayed. And one night, we didn't bring it in when it froze outside, and the gift just died. Because I don't have a green thumb. I don't have enough power to overcome those kind of elements. Where did that come from? Because I didn't take care of it correctly, we lost it. And I know there are a lot of people that say, you can't lose your salvation. You can't just lose it. I understand that. But guys, it's possible to walk away from it. It's possible to starve it out. I don't want that to happen to you. I don't think God's going to beat you over the head because you make a mistake or two or three, or in most of our cases, 40 or 50 or 100. God's not that kind. But I do believe we have choices. And I think our greatest choice is to decide this is valuable enough to me that I'm going to take care of this. I can't make something live, but I can cultivate the things around it to keep it alive. And that's what we're doing, is cultivating our life, cultivating our opportunities to keep things alive. So let's go into contend earnestly, the basics for contending for the faith. Here's a definition: to strive or vie against difficulties, or to struggle against or for anything. You ever seen two prize fighters? Both of them, they say these words. They're vying or contending, or this guy is a great contender. These guys are great contenders, and both of them are in that ring contending for what? They're contending for a champion against an adversary, and it's a great picture of who we are as Christians. Now, I don't know, I don't understand, and I'm not critical, but I don't understand why preachers often just tell you the goody-goody side of getting saved, and, oh, we get to go to heaven, it's just so wonderful, so wonderful. The Bible describes this walk as a fight, and so you need to contend for the faith. Contending isn't something that happens because we're just so sweet. Contending is something that it's like warriors. I was thinking, have you ever Have you ever seen anybody come out of boot camp that just looked softer and fluffier than what he went in as? Look at these guys. I mean, they're fit. How many of you wish you were as fit as them? Well, you could be that fit. You could join the Army or Marines. You could be that fit. But the truth of the matter is, we're contending. When those guys go into boot camp, they're going to boot camp for a purpose. You know what their purpose is? To get in shape and learn how to fight. Man, I like church like this. Do you know why you're coming to church? Oh, because I just want to get fed. No, you're not. You're coming to church to get ready to fight. Amen. And fight correctly, not with each other. We're supposed to be on the same team. We're supposed to be in the same area of the forces that we serve. And then the Bible tells us in these military terms, it says, contend for the faith. These guys that signed up for this boot camp, you know, when they signed up, they didn't expect them to pay for anything. Oh, here. They said, here's your free gift. You are now welcome to the Marine Corps. It was free, wasn't it? They didn't say, okay, it's going to cost you all your tithe for 15 years. No, he said, it's free. The gift is free. But now that you're part of the team, this is what we expect out of you. We expect you to give your life if you need to. Oh, it's nice to talk about the little baby. Oh, that's so sweet, so sweet. But you know the reason he's here is to demonstrate what it means to give your life. He's God. He didn't have to come down here. And so in contending for the faith, he came down here to show us this is what it looks like when you enter into this battle. They ended up killing him. Now, so it's to strive for or against anything. That word, or struggle, it's contending for the faith. Let's go on. Let me get you a couple of doctrinal levels, okay? So the faith, what does a faith stand for? It's a body of doctrine. But the Apostle Paul, he had a lot of enthusiasm for God. Did you know that? His name was Saul at the time. He had a lot of enthusiasm for God. He said, God, you're the greatest. You're the best. I love you with all of my heart, and I'm going to kill all those Christians because I love you. See, enthusiasm and desire and care is not good enough. You have to get things lined up correctly, and he was so hard to get through to that God finally had to just take him down. A big light shone around and took him down and blinded him, and he had an encounter with God, and God talked with him and said, Saul, I love your enthusiasm. But why are you keep doing this? You're going exactly opposite of what my plan is. It's not good enough to have enthusiasm for God. It's not good enough to have just love and passion for God. You have to get it straight. You have to get it right. If you don't get it right, you can't live it right. Here it is. Paul, it says, but they were hearing only. And they're talking about Saul here. He who formerly persecuted us now preaches a faith which he once tried to destroy. It's a body of doctrine. See, he preaches what? The faith. He preaches the faith. Because fundamentally, he got his doctrinal stuff all put together. It's all headed in the right direction. He understands what it takes. You know, there are so many systems out in the world that will tell you, oh, it's okay. It doesn't really matter what path you take as long as you're sincere. That's really scary because it's so wrong. The Bible says there's no other way than Jesus Christ. Until we get the way and the faith and the doctrine which is just basically teachings the Bible wants us to hear that are very important teaching. I just listed a few of the little teachings that the Bible wants us to hear. And look at this. Wants us to know about God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Fundamentals. He wants us to understand that the Bible is the inspired Word of God. He wants us to understand about Jesus and salvation. He wants us to understand about discipleship and baptisms, both baptism in the Holy Spirit and baptism by water. He wants us to know these fundamentals. They're doctrinally foundational fundamentals to everything we know and everything we do.
Well, if you enjoy Cowboy Church, I want to ask you to do something. Get your checkbook out or go to the website and pledge to support Cowboy Church. We rely on your gifts. God has put us in a place where we rely upon the people who enjoy Cowboy Church. We love hearing from you. Thank you for your letters and thank you for your support. God bless you, and we'll see you next week on Cowboy Church.